Well, let's put what's happening in Egypt in some historical context now with Samer Shehata. He's an associate professor of Middle Eastern Studies at the University of Oklahoma, and he's with us from the studios of KGOU. Samer, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
Well, first, what do you make of what President Obama said this morning?
Well, this was certainly the harshest response we've seen from the Obama administration until the present. As you mentioned rightly, the Obama administration has been unwilling to use the word coup because of what that would necessitate regarding U.S. law and the cutting off of military and other assistance. But certainly condemning what has occurred in this very harsh language, canceling the Bright Star military exercises, which are biannual, and then the idea that the national security team is going to review other types of cooperation, which of course is the $1.3 billion of military aid, is fairly serious. At the same time, Egypt is very important because of the peace with Israel, because of the benefits that the relationship provides, expedited passage of U.S. military vessels through the Suez Canal, almost unlimited overflight rights over Egyptian airspace, intelligence cooperation, and so on. And I think the administration is reluctant to potentially jeopardize that.
And the president went out of his way to say that the U.S. is not taking sides, even if each side thinks we are supporting the other. How do you think Egyptians are taking that?
Well, I think that unfortunately things are so polarized in Egypt to a level that I have never seen before that each side is going to look at what Mr. Obama said negatively. The pro-military side is going to say that this criticism is unfair, that the Muslim Brotherhood is a violent organization, that the continued sit-ins were a threat to national security, and that this is unreasonable. The other side, of course, has said that the United States has not come down strongly enough in support of democratic politics and the democratically elected president. So the United States is not liked by virtually everyone in Egypt right now, and I don't think what was said today is going to change that.
The Arab world has for a long time looked to Egypt as a leader. How do you think that yesterday's events are going to reverberate in the region?
Well, unfortunately, they are going to reverberate, and it's not going to be positive having to do with, you know, rights and the right to peaceful protest and the possibility of democracy. There's no question that as a result, first, of the Tunisian uprising against Zain al-Abidine Ben Ali in 2010-2011 and the Egyptian uprising against Mubarak had dramatic implications for the rest of the region in Yemen, in Libya, in Syria, and so on. And there was great inspiration by that. Unfortunately, because of what has occurred in Egypt over the last month, I think militaries, security forces, those opposed to Islamists are going to and have already become emboldened in Bahrain, in other countries and so on, to act against Islamist participation in the political process. And that does not bode well for democracy. I think also what's occurred in Egypt strengthens the hand of reactionary anti-democratic regimes such as those in the Gulf, particularly Saudi Arabia and the Emirates and so on, who have been backing the Egyptian military.
Samer Shehata, put this in the context of what's happened over the last several decades in Egypt, a series of dictatorial regimes, Nasser, Sadat, Mubarak, all of them guilty of some violence against civilians. And yesterday, the government declared a month-long state of emergency. We should remember that ending a state of emergency was one of the key goals of the uprising that began in 2011 as part of the Arab Spring.
Well, that's right. I think it is unlikely that the state of emergency is going to continue anywhere close to its length of duration under the Mubarak regime, which was essentially 29 years. But that being said, you are right to imply that what occurred yesterday is historic in a very sad way. There have never been this many people killed in Egypt, not only as far as I can remember in one day, but I think throughout the course of the 20th century. I mean, one has to remember that even under the Mubarak regime and even during the 18-day uprising, there weren't this many deaths in a single day. So it really is a terrible, terrible and quite traumatic day in Egyptian history.
Well, given that history, do the Egyptians appear to you to be able to make a transition to democracy at this point?
No, unfortunately. And I think one of the problems here, of course, is that you cannot have democratic, inclusive politics if a certain segment of the population is excluded from the political game. And here I mean the Muslim Brotherhood and Islamists and so on. So that is quite troubling. And the other thing, and I think this isn't kind of well understood, is that it is so polarized in Egypt right now that there is almost two worlds that people live in. One world fully supports what occurs and blames the Muslim Brotherhood and so on for the violence that was inflicted upon them. The other side, of course, sees this in black and white as well. And so that also does not bode well for the ideas of cooperation, conciliation, peaceful politics, and so on.
Doesn't bode well. But you're saying, again, what you just said, no, there you do not see Egyptians moving toward democracy.
Well, that's right, in the full sense of what democracy means, and that is not only, you know, equal rights and so on, but the right of political participation for everybody. And what we're likely to see is elections and so on, but liberals and secular people are going to be allowed to participate, and the Muslim Brotherhood might be made illegal or might be banned from participation. And at the same time, there's no question that the security forces and the military in particular are going to have greater say in matters outside of civilian oversight, having to do with national security and other things. And of course, that also is a limit to fully democratic politics.
Samer Shahata, Associate Professor of Middle Eastern Studies at the University of Oklahoma, thank you so much for joining us.
It's been my pleasure.
Funding for Here and Now comes from GEICO, offering a variety of insurance products, including auto, renters, boat, and motorcycle. More at geico.com or 1-800-947-AUTO.